Hi, everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable, episode 137. This is our Legend of Korra wrap-up. I am Karen, and today I am joined by as much as the team as we could get together. So that is Ariana, Mikal, Brittany, Caitlin, and Natalie. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you guys feeling about our wrapping up of Legend of Korra?
Oh, don't make me sick.
Brittany's mega depressed.
I'm so depressed.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm literally coming back next week.
I literally did not watch the last episode until last night after midnight because I could not. I was like, no, that means it's over. And I can't deal with that.
I did my grieving last year. I'm good.
I was like the bus ride home on Friday talking to Mitch and rewatching. This wasn't even Korra, but I was watching the Agni-Kai between Azula and Zuko on the bus ride home, and I got so upset, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore to myself.
Well, you can always read the comics for continuing adventures.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason I'm so resistant towards like reading the comics is because then I'll feel like Zutara like really isn't real because like Katara has a boyfriend.
You
and
like
she's
your
like
delusions.
All over him, and it's so gross. I do love my delusions.
Well, they play with some interesting potential ships in the comics, for sure. Like, not ones you would have thought of in the show.
And you'll definitely, 100%, find out what happened to Zuko's mother.
Yeah. And it's pretty great, in my opinion. I was actually, like, it's a weird story, but it's actually, like, really satisfying.
Cool.
So, there's all that right.
to
start you on.
Let's jump into contact info before we really get started. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at re_watchable. You can talk to us on this post on hypeable.com, or you can find us on Tumblr, rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. Our social media sites are going to get a facelift next week. We're going to be Buffy-themed soon, so enjoy all the Korra art while it lasts, because it's not going to be for much longer.
You guys really rip off the Band-Aid, huh?
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
Cool. I asked
I'm like almost
Brittany.
Excited to be like, Karen
she,
has picked you out of the
did.
Group.
She did ask me when she thought an appropriate amount of grieving time would be, and I first suggested Monday, and then I immediately was like, no, Tuesday.
No.
We can do Tuesday. Tuesday's fine. All right, I keep wanting to say, like, let's do our final this and let's do our final that, but it's getting really depressing, so I'm going to stop doing that. fun facts, Ariana.
Our final fun facts.
No, I wasn't going to do it. You go.
Are we keeping fun facts for Buffy?
Oh, yeah, I think
so.
It's a good idea.
I think you're delightful. Okay, I have three this week, but I'll go through really fast. So my first fun fact is that since the last time I podcast, I saw Mindy Sterling again because she was in a play that my friends were in, and she's my favorite human in real life, just like Lynn is my favorite human in fake life. And also, it was my birthday, and I won NaNoWriMo for the first time, so yay for me.
Happy birthday, and congratulations, because NaNo is not easy, so that's awesome.
That was my fourth try.
Cool. Mikal, what about you?
One of my professors liked a story that I wrote, / I'm writing.
Woo!
Yay!
Staying on the writing theme, I guess.
Brittany?
Staying on the not writing theme, I shared a video that is a huge part of my life to the Rewatchable group right before this started. And it is a pair of dancers performing a wonderful original piece to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. And it's fantastic.
I really liked the butt slapping.
And it'll be linked to in the show notes, so you can enjoy your holidays.
It was pretty delightful.
And Caitlin. I have a cold, so I'm sorry if I sound funny.
That's okay.
You sound pretty sexy, actually. So.
Oh, all right.
Caitlin, right. What about you?
Staying on the finals theme, I gave a final exam last week, and now my semester is over because I'm on the teaching end.
Natalie?
Keeping on the sick theme, I'm sick too, and may have a coughing fit during the period of recording, but my work Christmas party, my first ever work Christmas party, well, not first ever, but first with this company, was on Friday night, and I left extremely early because I was sick, and I'm wondering if everyone is going to judge me on Monday morning.
Aww. I don't think they will.
I missed everyone getting drunk, which is probably a good thing, because I probably would have just been annoyed. So, yeah.
My fun fact, I guess going back to writing, is that I now have a quote wall. I put up sticky notes on my wall and wrote down quotes. I have over 20 now. I started with 4 when I tweeted about it the other day. I have over 20 now. And it's actually quite cathartic to just look up at it and pick a quote and think about it for a little bit and calm down and de-stress. So I recommend it. And if you have any good quotes, send them my way.
That's nice.
Thanks. All right. So we don't have a typical synopsis for this episode because clearly we're not recapping. But I wrote one anyway.
Tell them what it's titled. Tell them what it's titled, Karen, because this makes you, like, want to cry.
It's titled No More Cora. All right. So here we go. Our heroes have completed their mission. Roughly 1 year and 3 months after setting out on this journey, they have finally come to the conclusion of their quest. The wiser of the group often held their knowledge over the heads of the newcomers, but not in malice. No. Instead, they chose to bestow that wisdom upon the others only when the time was right, only when they were ready. We may have departed from our destined path midway through the adventure, but we found our way back to what is right, what is good. Cora would never replace Aang in our hearts, but our job is not to compare the avatars at the expense of one over the other. Instead, we celebrate their lives and what little bit of it we were lucky enough to experience. Mikal and Natalie, the leaders of this troop of avatar acolytes, were burdened with the responsibility of leading us through the swamp, through the forest, through the desert, and to the heart of these stories. Much like the elusive lion turtle, they gave us the greatest gift of all, their mere presence.
Jesus.
Even the wisest and most diligent of leaders requires assistance, and hashtag Team Caitlin's schedule never once let us down. In the end, Brittany resorted to answering only in Boomy GIFs and Team Zutara 5eva hashtags, but she was constant presence, often traveling into the dangerous realm of that world called Tumblr, to ensure our message was spread far and wide. And though elusive, Danya was here in spirit. The best editors, after all, are neither seen, nor heard, nor acknowledged at all, really. And even the grumpiest of bitter-clucking witch hens would have to admit to her stealth and agility. Who could then forget Ariana and Mitch, acclaimed rewatchable scribes, whose words often left us in tears, both from laughter and Zutara longing. Famous across the lands for their wit and humor, we willfully admit we wouldn't be nearly as funny without them. That leaves just me, dear listeners, your humble narrator. Though I have been instructed to dance with dragons, play with your puffy spirits, allow you to live in my basement, give birth to my firstborn in front of an audience, and so much worse, I wouldn't give it up for the world. This may be the end of our journey through the Avatarverse for now, but we will always have our memories. And iTunes.
Applause.
Aww. Yay, Karen.
I realized earlier on, Mikal, this made me think of you, that I missed the opportunity for saying we're burdened with glorious purpose, and I'm kind of kicking myself right now.
We're just always burdened with glorious purpose.
Yeah, it's nothing new for us. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed that dramatic reading. That was quite fun. And obviously, we are all going to miss Avatar and everything, but hopefully there will be great stuff to come as well. And you never know, maybe the opportunity will arise to revisit this world down the line. Anything's possible with Rewatchable, so we always try to keep our minds open to the possibility. All right, let's get into discussion points for this episode. We're going to start off with the newbies first. So that's me, Brittany, and Ariana. So, Brittany, let's start with you. Give us a rundown of just how you feel about Korra. You know, even just Avatar, the Avatarverse in general, this is sort of our last foray for now until, you know, we don't know if we will get back into it. So how much did this show end up meaning to you?
Well, I'm still running the social media accounts, so every Throwback Thursday is going to be a trip into the Avatar universe. I'm just warning you right now. This show, so when it started, I was not into it. If you go back and listen, I listened to the first episode of Avatar, and I'm like, aww, oh boy, this is going to be a long run. And also, you guys made fun of my accent for the way I said water, which is okay.
I'm over it. I mean, that still stands, but, you know.
But, yeah, over – I know when we switched to Freaks and Geeks, we hit kind of like – I felt like we were kind of trying to rush back to get to Korra. And that kind of just, like, speaks in and of itself of how I felt about getting back to this group and these two shows. I think they gave us a lot to talk about, and we were able to dig so deep into the story and just get really lost in the worlds. And I loved them so much. And that's why I think I'm so hesitant to move on, because I'm going, not that we can't recreate the conversations and stuff that we've been having here, but the fact that this was the place where it sparked those conversations and I became like better friends with a lot of the people here rather than just working with them at Hypeable doing other things. So Avatar holds like a really special place in my heart, and I love it.
Aww. That's nice. Ariana, what about you?
This is like such a broad question.
I know.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. Brittany, you said it all. I'm still like in mode, like thinking of, because I just barely watched the finale, and I know nobody wants to talk about that because you spent 2 hours doing that last week, but I liked it.
I agree with Brittany. Like, I feel like we really bonded over this, over both shows, and Freaks and Geeks was hard for a lot of reasons. A lot of us had personal stuff going on at that time, and so it was a little bit of a hot mess behind the scenes, which kind of made it hard, but when we came back to do Korra, it everything felt like normal again, so that's really good. And I felt this way when we did Veronica Mars. I became really attached to that group and that show and the feelings that it gave me, which is kind of weird because you're thinking, well, you know, we're doing a podcast. It is a time commitment. It's kind of like part of our job, and you feel sometimes like it's a chore to do it, especially with all the behind the scenes work and having to edit the shows and everything. But it's also something that we get to, like, we actually get to talk to each other for an hour or two every week about something that we all really like, or hopefully really like, potentially, depending on how the newbies end up feeling. So it's just, it's a good time. And I'm really glad that that Rewatchable podcast is a thing, and I hope it continues to take off the way that it has.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about our feelings. That's really hard for me. I mean, this has been a really cool experience. I mean, there's so many of you that I feel like it's weird. It's to think that before we did this podcast, I like had never spoken to you. So, yeah. That was me talking about my feelings.
Very good. It was good job, great. Okay. We can move past that. So let's talk about favorite characters, and everyone can chime in. I think this is especially interesting given the super fans have rewatched the show. And so I'm wondering, you know, if any of these feelings have changed at all. But anyone have – I feel like Brittany wants to go first just because I kind of know.
I feel like I don't even have to go at all.
Favorite characters, go.
From the Avatar universe, my favorite character is King Bumi, of course, as you all know. I think I'm going to just continue sending Bumi gifts even into Buffy because it'll confuse a lot of people, and I like doing that.
Maybe it'll be relevant. That would be cool.
The fact that you love Boomy so much really makes me curious as to, like, who you're going to like on Buffy. If you, like, if you get a weird attachment to some character, like, I don't know. Like
the janitor just, like, in the background.
Well, no, this is just throwing out, but, like, Karen and Caitlin, this won't mean anything to newbies, but, like, Clem or something. If she becomes, like, world's number one Clem stan.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And I'm kind of crossing my fingers for it, but we'll see. But carry on, sorry.
Can be recreated, but I'll definitely keep my eyes open and ears open and see what comes my way. In Korra, I think my favorite character turned out to be Bolin, with Boomy at a very close second. Boomy was my favorite character going into it because I knew he was coming, but I didn't know where or when, and I was just very excited. And, like, you know, General Iroh's hot, but he was only there for, like, a second. yeah, so I think it turned out to be Bolin. He was, without a doubt, the character I kept coming back to, being like, watch him bend! He's so cool! Look at how strong Bolin is! So and I found myself sticking up for him a lot when he was not at his best, like, you know, following Kuvira. Yeah, so I think Bolin and Boomy and other Boomy are my three favorite characters in the Avatar universe.
Yeah, I would say I'm kind of surprised by saying this, but I think Bolin too, and the only reason why I'm surprised that he ended up being my favorite character is because he felt a little bland to me at first, and then he continued to grow into his own person, and once he did that, I thought he was fascinating, especially when he started lava bending. I was like, there's a whole different side to him, and he's a lot more capable than he was letting himself be before. So I really like seeing that projection. And I think going back to Avatar, Zuko's got to be my favorite just because of his arc and how much he changed from that first season. It was really great to watch.
And then he gets a dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Oh, are we not split into newbies and super fans at the moment? Or is it?
I would hate to, like, silence the super fans, so.
No, Zuko gets a dragon, Ariana.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were doing all newbies first or all super fans first, which is why I didn't weigh in with my emo feelings earlier, because I thought it was coming later. But I have some. But favorite characters, Zuko is definitely, from Avatar, is... Yeah, he's like top 10 favorite fictional characters of all time in all shows, and Buffy has a couple of my others in that top list as well, so it's going to be quite a lot. But Korra, you know, I'll admit that I don't know it as well. Like, I was watching Avatar before Korra started, so I'd already watched Avatar several times when we did the show, whereas I'd only watched Korra through once when we did the rewatch. And then I kind of binge watched it and then watched it episode by episode as we went again. And in Korra, the first time I saw it, like when it was originally airing, I don't think I disliked Korra as much as I came to under Brittany's influence.
I'm so sorry to the world and Natalie.
But I also really love Tenzin a lot more. Like he's my favorite in Korra, I think, and it's a solid
Tenzin. Solid
placement for him now, and I really adore him. And yeah, he's my fave now, and I'm glad.
Mikal?
I mean, I'm really boring. My favorite from Avatar is Mei, because I love Mei. And my favorite from Korra is Asami, because I love Asami. There's no similarities there at all, you know. I love that kind of girl who's like, kind of just gets stuff done, you know, and like doesn't make a fuss about it. Like, there's not a ton of angst there. There's just kind of like, well, if you insist, and can kick ass in unexpected ways. So, and obviously, I mean, Toph also, because I love Toph. I don't love Korra Toph, but I love Atla Toph.
Mm. Caitlin?
I would say, well, Zuko is obviously my A from Avatar, but for Korra, it would probably be a split between Asami and Lin. I just love a couple of badass ladies. I love that Asami grows into a bigger character, and the ending just, I was rewatching the last episode a couple days ago, and I was like in tears at the end, and I didn't cry the first time I watched it, but the ending, I was just, I loved it, so love it, and I love that she and Cora got together, and I also love Lynn, because she's so imperfect, and she's so, she has a big heart underneath all of it, and I love it. It's all great.
Ariana, remind us again who your favorite character from Avatar was.
Azula. I don't know why I paused.
I was like, oh my god, she's a future character. It's going to be a big, like, mystery.
I was trying to think of, like, someone funny to say that everyone hated, but, like, that didn't happen in Avatar. Yeah, no, she's my favorite, obviously. My second favorite is probably Katara. Oh, I should have probably said Katara, because I know some people do hate her, like Natalie. but I love Katara, too, because she's super cool, and I love that she's really grumpy. I love that she's, like, a Gryffindor on the streets, but a Slytherin in the sheets. So...
And we went there. Took us a while.
I feel like that's super accurate, though.
And on Korra, my favorite is my Bae Lin forever. Yeah, which is why I still hate Pema, even though she's fine. I have to stick up for my girl. And surprisingly, Mako went from being my least favorite, I hated him for 3 seasons, to now I'm, like, absolutely in love with him in season 4. So, yay for Mako.
And love he didn't him. Have to die to be redeemed, like I thought he was going to be, so.
No, he didn't. No.
Now,
he tried.
Yeah, he did try pretty hard.
Oh my gosh, that was, like, my favorite scene. I'm sorry, I am going to talk about this right now for 10 seconds. And then Bolin, he's like, you don't have to tell us how awesome you are. We know you're awesome. You're awesome. That was so great. They do the sibling relationships so well. Since nobody talked about Sokka, Sokka's great, too.
Oh, Sokka.
Sokka.
Well, I've been, like, pushing Sokka so far out of my mind because he's dead, and I can't deal with it still.
Sokka is just the best. Oh, Sokka.
Yeah, I think I have to retract my answer. Zuko's not my favorite. Sokka's my favorite. I think I forgot about him, too, because I'm really depressed about it.
I also feel like I have a lot of favorite characters in Avatar, but I don't have to say who they are because it's just like they look at me and they're like, yeah, it's Boomy. We know. And it really is. He does, like, he's in a league of his own. But if I had to pick a second character, it would definitely be Sokka because he's just fantastic.
I thought you were going to say the cabbage guy. Well,
all right. If I had to pick a third favorite character, it'd be Sokka.
Iroh, though. Not hot Iroh. Old Iroh.
Old Iroh. He's great, except for when he's really creepy towards that girl on the dragon thing. What was she writing?
Oh,
In season 1. He's a little weird when he's creepy, but most of the time he's fine. June.
Yeah, that was weird. But yeah, that's true.
Now, does anyone here think Korra was a better show than Avatar?
I think it was, I don't know, it's very hard to compare them. I mean, I think that Avatar definitely had a lot more fluff than Korra did. You know, Korra was a lot more down to business. I think that season 1 of Korra might be the best season of all the Avatar seasons.
Are you serious?
Yes. Very much so.
It's not even the best one of Korra.
I don't know. Every time I watch that season, I'm just like, the episodes flow like crazy into each other. Like, I can't, I don't know. I like am riveted every single time. And I love the other seasons except for 2. I love season 3 and I love season 4, but they don't seize me by the throat and not let me go. I'm a little disappointed by the ending, but you know, whatever. I don't know. I just think the structure of season 1 works as compellingly as anything I've seen on TV.
I think it was in some ways well-paced, but I felt like the characterization was lacking in season one. Like, that was my main problem with Cora, is that I felt like the, whatever, she doesn't have a trio. What does she have? A crew? I felt like her crew didn't really get developed until season three, and that really bothered me, because even, like, Tenzin's brother and sister, they got developed earlier than they did, but it just seemed like Mako and Bolin and Asami were just following her around so often without having anything to do for themselves.
The shorter seasons didn't help either, because Avatar, they had a lot more room in each season to explore the characters, whereas Korra was much shorter per season.
Yeah, I think that there's a real lull with two, I think, in Korra. Like, the first time I watched it as well, like, the people I was watching it with kind of trailed off after two, and I was like, no, after, like, it gets better again, but two's a real lull, and I don't know if that lull, you know, makes up for the rest of the show, if you're going to call one better than the other. Avatar does have a lot of, like, fluff and filler episodes, because it's 22 to 25 episodes a season, and it's, you know, it's slightly less hard-hitting because it's aimed slightly younger, but I think that as a whole it has more, it doesn't have as big a period of, like, not greatness as I think that season two of Korra is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it is hard to really compare them, because I feel like I really loved the characters from Avatar. Like, all of the ones we were meant to love appeal to me in one way or another, but I really enjoyed the maturity of Korra and the slightly older, you know, audience that it was meant to be geared toward. And a lot of those hard-hitting episodes really hit you very hard, and there's a lot of give and take, and I think both have strengths and weaknesses. So I will agree that, yeah, it's a little bit hard to compare them. Now, super fans, did any of your opinions change upon rewatch? Did you find any characters that you ended up liking more after we were discussing it? Or, you know, did you notice things that changed your opinion on the show overall?
I liked season two better this time around.
That's good.
I mean, I still think it's the weakest season of all four of them, but the first time around, I was really not into it. But watching them a little bit more in chunks of episodes at a time between the times we were recording helped the flow of it for me. So when they were a little more bunched up, it worked a little better. So I liked it a little more.
That's good.
I just don't know if I was giving it as close a watch the first time in general, like thinking about whether, like, no, I do remember the first time having, you know, some thoughts about whether Aman, you know, how the equal, you know, equalists, and whether that was, like, you know, technically fair, or a fair call to want to have, you know, like the bending inequality and stuff like that. But I think just looking at the ethics of all of the villains deeper over all of the seasons is kind of just, I just don't think I thought about it as in depth when I watched it the first time, because I wasn't watching it like this, and I wasn't, like, really involved in the fandom, like, you know, I wasn't, like, getting online and discussing it with people, if you know what I mean. It was just me and, you know, my house. And so I don't know if I was, you know, thinking as constructively about the reasoning behind a lot of the major plots, and about whether, you know, Korra was doing well or badly or anything like that.
Who are your favorite villains? Like, if we're ranking them, who is everybody's favorite?
Favorite, like, they're a good villain, or favorite, like, I like them, genuinely like them?
Like, either one.
Zaheer is my number one favorite Korra villain, and as I've said many times, I want him to be BFFs and be Korra's advisor for the rest of her life.
Zaheer is definitely my favorite, too. Like, that whole group, I thought was so well done and so interesting. I actually wanted to see more of them.
I don't think it's a surprise that my favorite is Kamira. Yeah.
I like Zaheer the best, too.
Zaheer is interesting, because I feel like he had some really good, like, he was like an idealist, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was a bit of an anarchist, but yeah, I don't think that he was.
Oh, he wasn't a bit of an anarchist. He was a card carrying.
He was an anarchist. Yeah. He was an anarchist. But yeah, I think he genuinely believed in what he was trying to, you know, achieve. That doesn't make it, you know, less murdery, but, you know, cool motive, still murder. But I don't know. I just like him. And I think that, like, once he's mellowed out in prison, like, I really loved Cora, him helping Cora and him being totally, like, he has no personal grudges and it's not like, oh, I'm plotting against you. He's like, he's legit, and I like him for that. And I don't know, I feel like he would have the potential to, like, you know, actually be a helpful member of society. I don't know. So I love him. But
see, that's how I feel about Kuvira. Like,
really?
I feel like, I mean, again, like, not to minimize her crimes or in any way. But I feel like she is someone who could have gone so right and been so useful and offer the world a lot, you know, and not, again, not that it wasn't her fault, but the circumstances that conspired, you know, kind of led her on that negative path. So I don't know if she can, like, ever get out of jail, but I kind of feel like she and Cora will have kind of a relationship going forward from her prison cell. There's fanfic.
Okay, but
this.
She was like a huge liar because she was like, all I wanted was a family, but then she like blew up her fiance. So the girl don't know what she wants. She don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that was originally, you know, her goal. That was kind of what motivated her. I think we needed to know more about Kuvira in the season, to be honest. They kind of buried the lead and saved that for the end. But I think that, you know, I think she was so far gone at that point in, like, creating this, like, gigantic Earth Kingdom quote-unquote family that she was, like, the dictator of, that Batar was at that point an acceptable sacrifice for her, you know, if she was going to take out Cora at the same time. Yeah. I don't know. I love that last conversation between them. I feel like it's very heartfelt on both of their sides and very honest. And Cora kind of doesn't really get that with any of the other villains, right? Because when she takes down all the other villains, or in Amon's case, when he, like, runs away, they're in the midst of fighting. You know, like, Zaheer has had his monologue moments, you know, before this. So we understand the relationship that's established there. But Kuvira is the only one where kind of, like, after the, you know, spirit crap hits the fan, we have just the two of them together, you know. And Cora going in front of the spirit ray to save Kuvira is, like, my freaking favorite moment of anything ever, because I just think it says so much about her and, you know, has brought her to such a beautiful place. But sorry, those are my feelings.
You're allowed to have feelings. It's fine.
I will say, like, an opinion of mine that changed, or didn't really, it's not really a change, but, like, you know, the first time going through Cora, especially season 3 and 4, not a lot of my opinions changed because I podcasted through most of Cora, so I kind of established how I felt and debated that with people. But, like, I saw all the Kurosami signs, right? But I wasn't, like, I didn't actually think that was going to happen. I just kind of thought that they were hinting at that. Like, oh, haha, maybe. And they're just friends, you know, like normal, like Bucky and Steve, you know, like definitely just buds, guys, just buds. But now it seems like so idiotic. Like, of course they're falling in love, you know, like, of course that's where the story is going. And it seems, you know, blatantly obvious to me.
Speaking of feelings, I feel like this is a leading question, but we probably should discuss it anyway. Newbies, how disappointed were you that there was no Zutara?
I don't want to talk about it. I also would like to point out...
Okay, more so than Zutara.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead, Brittany.
Oh, well, I wanted to say before we get into Zutara, because I feel like this is going to be the rest of the podcast for me, that my favorite villain was Amon, because he was actually wearing face paint. So... You know, just throwing it out there.
Oh, wow.
But go ahead.
Just four seasons too late.
Brittany. I know, 4 seasons too late. But Ariana, I want you to lead into the Zutara conversation because I have a feeling that it'll be perfect.
Okay. Well, more, I was going to say more so even than Zutara, because I don't need to see Zutara happening to like feel it happening, but like more so than, it just really frustrated me that they had all these old people like hanging around and did not utilize them in the best way. Like, we really should have seen them in the last episode, and they never show up again. Like, what, they can't just be hanging out at the wedding? Like, and we never got to the Fire Nation, and that makes me really angry. And there's so many things left unresolved, Zutara being, of course, the leading one. But
yeah, and that's kind of exactly what I was going to say. While we didn't see Zutara, when Zuko was like, hey, I gotta bounce, it was because he knew Katara was by herself. So, like, I mean, we know what was happening.
Oh my god, she's so convinced!
Like, they were just, like, on vacation.
The assumption in her voice.
So, yeah, I mean, I didn't need to see it, and we all know what was happening. It's fine.
Who is we all?
Me and every listener who I've convinced that Zutara is real and forever.
Aang is dead. It's fine, guys. Like, and whoever Zuko's wife is dead. So it's totally fine. Although he probably never got married. They probably just had like a threesome, like little menage a trois going on. And Azumi or whatever is like Katara's daughter, but also like with a little bit of Aang's sperm, they like mixed it together.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's how that works. Oh my god.
But you know what? I take comfort that like the creators of Avatar probably had these conversations while they were creating Avatar, because they're adults. So, you know, Ariana's just channeling like Mike and Brian's darkest moments.
Yes, you know. Oh god. I do wonder how they come up with some of this stuff. And so, yeah, this is probably it. But I don't know. It makes me wonder, like, you know, if they're not actually, like, friends anymore. Like, if they just come together for, like, you know, world leading. You know, like, Katara just hangs out by herself at South Pole. Toph, you know, when, you know, her and Toph aren't having any more spa days. Toph's been living in the swamp for, like, what, she hadn't seen Lin in, like, 20 years or something? Like,
I know.
You know, she'd seen Sue since then, like, you know, but not maybe not in a while. But, you know, she doesn't see Katara, clearly Katara and Zuko, we don't have any Katara and Zuko together, not that, you know, I need them to be in love.
He went
but,
to the
you know,
South Pole. Do he they couldn't not, stop like, by and say hi. He went to the South Pole.
No. Sorry. Yeah, and it's just weird that they, like, didn't show these relationships still existing, I guess.
That's actually, like, one of my frustrations with it, like, watching it again. Katara is so passive and so, like,
Yes,
know,
thank you.
Like, I don't know. It didn't bother me the first time as much, but, like, seeing her just kind of go along with everything. And, like, she doesn't have to be, like, an old lady badass. Like, I get it. She's had a long life. It's been tough. Like, I get it. But she's literally just, like, there to be, like, the voice of comfort and reason and, like, wisdom. And, like, her whole journey in Avatar was, like, getting her out of that healing hut. And we, like, barely see her out of it in
She was,
you know,
like, a totally different person. Because they, like you said, they made her super wise and stuff. And, like, Katara was never really wise to begin with. Like, she thought she was, but she wasn't. And she always liked to be all up in everybody's business. So even if she can't fight, you would think she'd be there, like, nagging people from the sidelines.
And I kind of have a feeling, I know this is probably the response is going to be read the comics, but I'm getting the sense that like nothing happened in the comics where she lived this like incredibly crazy life after like, you know, everything died down to where it was like, okay, yeah, she deserves the rest.
Have not focused on
she became a trophy wife.
Okay,
I don't know if I'd put it like that, but kind of. They don't go that far into the like the lives yet of the kids, if you know what I mean. It's not that much further after the end of Avatar. Like, not their entire lives worth, if you know what I mean.
No, I do. I'm just saying, like, within that, even in that time, like, you know, she probably, it wasn't, you know, too crazy. So, I don't know. I wish that, like, even if they had hinted, like, you know, she did all of these amazing things, and it was like, No, she kind of, like, Aang did his thing, and she settled down, and she gave birth to these three amazing kids who then were treated poorly by their father, and then...
No, but obviously, yeah, like, Kaya's like, yeah, I definitely don't want to have kids.
Yeah.
Don't want to end up like Mom.
No, it's so...
Stuck in the South Pole.
And, like, listen, I was never Katara's biggest fan in Avatar. You can go back and listen, you'll know that I was never heard, like, a true Katara supporter, but, like, man, was it disappointing to see her and Korra. I almost wished, like, that they didn't show her, in a way, because...
Wow.
Like that she had died, too, with
Sokka. Not even died, just off-screen, because it was just... I felt so bad for her. It's like, you know, going to, like, see someone who is such a... Or, like, meeting your favorite actor who is, like, you know, played the best role ever, and then they're, like, a horrible, horrible person. And you're like, oh, no, what happened to you? Like, where's the joy in your life?
See, I feel that way about Toph. I feel like...
Well, yeah, no, I agree. Her, too.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Katara, I wanted her to be there. I just wanted her to be different. I mean, I wanted Toph to be different, too. But, like, if they were going to take this route of her being this, like, super bitter woman whose life has basically been a failure in every single relationship she's had and, you know, has, you know, can barely tolerate even being around other people now. What frustrates me about Toph is that she's basically, like, the first time we meet her in Avatar, this is her maturity level now. It's just that she's, like, 89. And, like Katara's way too mature, like, nothing like her old self, and Toph is way too much like her old self.
But Toph probably has, like, dementia. I think I mentioned that. Like, yeah. I feel like she's regressed back to her childhood state.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I'm like, no, she's Toph. She's, like,
yeah.
You know, it makes me upset.
See, I think I'm in the minority here, and I guess I'll just throw my voice into the mix for the people out there who feel the way I do, but I'm glad that Katara was the way she was because I felt like she calmed down a little bit, and that was refreshing to see, and I think it is because of the life that she led and the fact that she was getting older. She couldn't ride out into battle anymore, but she, you know, she did the best she could on the home front, and I was cool with that. I will agree with Toph being, she was a little aggravating sometimes, but I think she had learned some lessons in her life because she did want to reconnect with her children, and Lin was the one that really wasn't up for it. I do think that Toph could have tried harder, and the fact that she became a recluse is unfortunate, but she was never, like, a huge fan of people to begin with, and she's always been a bit combatant, so, like, that wasn't that big of a deal to me.
She actually, I felt like she retained, like, she seemed the most, like, how I would expect her to be, like, I didn't expect her to get more pleasant.
She was the most recognizable as her past self. Like, it was the same intonation in the way she spoke, the same reactions. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. It's like, have you grown at all? Like, you know.
Yeah, and I didn't really think of her as bitter. I just thought that she was, like, she seems very comfortable with herself. She doesn't understand why other people aren't comfortable with her, like her children.
From what we see of Toph, even at the end of Avatar and the end of, you know, and some of the stuff that happens in the comics, the previous comic that went on before this was basically Toph-centric. And she does get more sensitive. You know, obviously she's still Toph. She's still tough as nails. But she does get a little, she gains a few social skills. She, like, starts to see the importance of hanging on to relationships, even if they're painful. And I see this as such a regression for her. Like, I guess
she did make up with her. She tried to make up with her daughters.
Yeah, but, like, how many years too late? And, like, how did it get to that disappointment? I mean, like, the way they end that episode is basically like, well, let's really try not to hate each other. Like, wow, that's a great goal. I just find it very, very sad that's where her life ended up. And not that, like, she has to be in, like, a relationship with somebody or anything like that. Just that, like, Toph doesn't strike me as the type of person who would throw away the world. She strikes me as somebody who is, like, eager to be involved in everything and, you know, to, I guess it depends on how you interpret her, but just to see her being like, you know, well, I'll try to teach you, but you'll probably suck at this. Like, I don't even care. Blah, blah, blah. I'm 89 years old and literally haven't changed a day since I was 12. Like, I don't buy it.
Well, I guess that's a good segue into, are there any Avatar characters that you did, that you were excited returned, or even like Avatar throwbacks or moments, you know, the flashbacks or anything like that?
Flashbacks were also sad because, I mean, I, while they were happening, I was very excited. But then I would get really sad immediately when they were over because I'm like, no, no, no. I was like trying to grip onto them, like, stay, tell me your stories. But I was very excited to see Zuko and have him, you know, say the thing like, oh, I sent someone after, like, you know, Aang once. Didn't work. Like, I loved that callback a lot. And I also, I mean, the Cabbage Man turning into having Cabbage Corp is probably hands down the greatest thing that they did between the shows.
Not my Cabbage Corp!
Yeah, like, that was brilliant. Like, I really loved that.
I loved Sokka in the flashback. He was fantastic. And when he was, like, going on... Yes, my trusty boomerang. And he's like, why, even our Toph invented metal bending.
I loved Zuko. I loved seeing Zuko. See, he was exactly the type of older character that I want to see, you know, like, very, you know, like, wise, but not, like, existing for the purpose of being wise, you know, and just, like, chilled and... having something to do with the world, not being, like, the number one or whatever, but, like, being around, you know, having a great relationship with his daughter, with May, I'm sure. And, yeah, I did, for as much as I was disappointed in Toph and Katara, I was very, very pleased with how they handled Zuko.
Yeah, he had some great references to just, like, his awkwardness as a kid. Like, his face when he realized, when Korra, wow, mentions she talked to Iroh, his face. Like, it's like that was classic Zuko.
I was surprised by how excited I was when we saw Iroh again. I was, like, super pumped for that. I mean, I was super pumped for Zuko, too. But I think Iroh means more to me than I initially thought he did.
I feel like Iroh was also more unexpected because we knew, like, especially the first time around, like, we knew Zuko was around because they had told us, like, he's alive, wandering the world. So we're like, Zuko's going to show up. But Iroh was totally unexpected. So I remember the first time I watched it, I think I screamed when Iroh showed up.
I think I did too.
I was more like, how is this happening? And then I was like, oh, wait, spirit world. That makes total sense. But I was like, I was thrown yet excited because I wish that he stuck around a little bit more for Korra's sake in like spiritual training because I feel like she sort of like, I don't think her spiritual training is anywhere near complete even as they ended this season. Like, I think she needs a lot more training and connecting with her spiritual side in terms of Avatar-ness. But, yeah, I was excited to see him and watch him interact with Jenora, and he still had his little quirks, but they weren't, like, overblown, you know? Like, you know, he was still having tea, but it wasn't, like, a huge, you know, like, in-your-face, like, Iroh's having tea, get it? And, but, you know, I appreciated his presence. And since we're probably never going to do this, I'm going to say that my favorite spirit was Zabumafu.
Fair. I liked him
not a lot. Not Boomju?
I mean, Boomju provided a lot of, you know, great comic relief for Boomy, especially when he knit him a sweater. But, yeah. I love that scene, actually. God, why didn't they continue more Boomy plot lines? I'm so angry at them. Like, Boomy just fell off the face of the earth. Ugh. Yeah, no, Boomju's close second, but I like saying Zabumafu. It's a fun word.
It is a fun word. All right, super fans, how do you survive these shows being over, and do you have any suggestions for what, you know, we or our listeners can watch read, obviously there's the comics, you know, anything like that, that if we really liked Avatar and Korra, kind of jump into something else that we can get sucked into.
Read the comics.
Yeah, read the comics.
Specifically with this canon, read the comics. Yeah, like
anything outside the really Avatarverse.
I don't know. I know there are a lot of other like animated shows designed for children at the moment, which are seen as very progressive and they have really big adult fan bases. Two of them being Gravity Falls and Steven Universe, and another one being Adventure Time. But I've never watched any of them. But they have the same kind of adult fan bases, like shipping, like not hopefully not creepy adult fan bases like the My Little Pony people, but like adult fan bases where there's like genuine fandom and discussion and meta and shipping, and that the content creators are really aware of it and that it's really progressive content for children to see. That happens in all of those shows apparently, but I don't follow any of them. I don't know if you guys do or not.
I would recommend Miyazaki films. They're brilliant. And you can generally, I think most of them have been dubbed by Disney, so you should be able to find them pretty easily.
Studio Ghibli stuff, is that?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So Spirited Away is my favorite. But there's a bunch of them. Kiki's Delivery Service, Ponyo, and I'm drawing a blank, but there's a ton of them.
Actually, I've got something I'll recommend as well. A book series. If you like the concept of bending and of this kind of sort of semi, like, you know, this kind of elemental-based, like, quote-unquote magic that isn't really magic, I will recommend actually a book series that I've read since I was young, and I've only sort of just made the association now, which is one of the universes of Tamora Pierce, who's a fantasy writer that I've followed since I was young. She has one that's very medieval knights and magic, which is not the one I'm recommending right now. The other one, which is sort of called the Circle Universe, it starts with a quartet called the Circle of Magic, and then there's several more books in the series. But I really like them. They're slightly more progressive than her other series as well, but their take on magic is not dissimilar to bending. Their take on the magic that the four kids, they have four main children in the story, have is this like elemental kind of ambient magic that is drawn from nature basically, and they can channel it in different ways, and they have more specific than bending in Avatar, but it's one of the closest things to bending, and they're really a really good series of books if you liked that kind of sort of unusual magical world, but not like high fantasy, if you know what I mean. So they're good. And there's about 10 books set in that universe altogether. So it's a good one. It's a good ride. Queer characters, lots of people of color, lots of different forms of magic. So it's fun.
I have a quick recommendation too. Truth Witch by Susan Dennard is coming out in January, and she's a huge Avatar fan, and she was a little bit inspired by the world, and they have different witcheries, which is basically like the version of, you know, bending. And so they have like earthbenders, and they have like windbenders, but also like truth witches, which means that they can like tell when someone's lying, like that weird guy in season 3.
Great things about that book. Like, it's
it's so good. I waited for hours to get the to get the arc at Comic-Con, and it was worth it.
Yeah, a lot of people waited for hours and did not get an arc, so that's really good that you got one, because it's pretty popular. People are like having high expectations for that.
Actually, another book series similar is the Grisha trilogy by Leigh Bardugo, that also sort of uses Lee's also a big fan of Avatar, and she actually did a podcast a while back with Mike a couple of years ago. I think it was Mike. And it's hilarious because they're like sort of friends, and like she gets progressively more drunk as they're talking. It's really great if you want to look it up. But in that series, basically the magic is also, it's called like the small science. So it's people kind of manipulating molecules and things. So you have people who can create storms and who can, you know, do things like with biology and different things like that. And they're pretty good books. So
I just read those.
Enjoyed yeah, they're good, right?
Yeah.
I got into a Twitter fight with her once. It was not my fault.
Lee?
Oh, yes. Lord.
Like a fight?
Yeah, like she threatened to sue me.
Oh. Wow, okay. But she also ships Utara.
It was not my fault, I'm telling you. She was threatening to sue me. I was like, calm down, I don't know you.
I figured you weren't threatening to sue her.
I'm very curious as to what this was over, but okay.
I think I vaguely remember this, but anyway, moving on. That's basically it for our main discussion points. Anything else you guys want to say before we move into our fairly extensive feedback, which we kind of wanted to focus on this episode, given that it's our wrap-up?
I don't know. I didn't get my turn at being sad and emotional because I thought that it was just the newbies, but I can have a turn at that if I'm allowed.
Sure. Go ahead.
There are no more newbies anymore anyway. We're all old bees now.
True.
Yeah, yay, I'm a super fan.
You've graduated. I don't know. It just obviously Avatar and Korra, like these two are the only shows on Rewatchable that I've done. Like I wasn't in Freaks and Geeks or on any of the ones prior to this. So this was kind of my introduction to this podcast and this group of people. And it's just been a really good and consistent and enjoyable kind of force in my life over the past however long it is that we've been doing it, I guess. Like obviously I've podcasted with you know, a few of the group before, you know, particularly Karen and Mitch as well for a very long time. And, you know, and I've you know, known everyone a bit, but I really feel very strongly about, you know, about coming on to Rewatchable every week or every 2 weeks. And I've found it a very, you know, relaxing and social experience, basically, as opposed to, you know, some of the podcasts that more involved in running, like Teen Wolf, no offense, Karen, because you have to run this one too, where I kind of have to plan and you know, stress about it. This has just been like one of the social highlights of my week, basically, because I have no friends in real life. And so, yeah, shout out to any Australian listeners. If you want to be my friend, you could come and hang out with me because I have no one to hang out with in the real world. And, yeah, I just feel really strongly about you guys, and no, that wasn't crying. Okay. I'm sick. But I especially wanted to give a shout out though to Brittany, and she probably does not feel the same. But I feel like that I, through doing this show, I've gotten to know her a lot better, which has translated to seeing her a lot in real life, more than I get to know most people on Hyperbole, and I super have appreciated her over the past however long it's been since we started hanging out. So I like you a lot, and I think that being my friend. And I feel like that extends to everyone as well in terms of our regular groups, but Brittany, I've just happened to end up translating into actually hanging out quite a lot, which I probably wouldn't have felt super comfortable and would have felt super anxious and nervous about doing if I hadn't been doing this show. So
I know, yay. It's so weird. I hang out with you so much and you live in Australia and I live in New Jersey. But yet you're like the person I've seen the most out of all the Rewatchable. It's crazy. Weird,
but it's good. And yay. And I wish it was all of you, but yay. All right, that was me.
Very good. Anyone else wanna just have an emotional breakdown, or are we good?
No, but I do think
not particularly about this though.
No, but I think that was a really great point, Natalie. I also feel like this. I mean, doing the doc sometimes makes me want to die, but actually doing the podcast never feels like work. It's I get so excited. I'm like, yeah, I get to talk to my friends.
Yeah, it's like having a really good phone call with your BFFs every week or, you know, every 2 weeks. And a lot of us do a lot of podcasts that feel like that. But this one's especially fun because it's about something we like with a new show, podcasting about a new show, you know, there's always drama and, like, you know, something happened that you might not particularly like, but, like, you're in this because you know that you, well, at least if you're a super fan, and if you're a newbie, you've decided to commit anyway, but it's like, it's something that's, like, closed, it's done, it's not like you're stressing about, like, what's coming next, I mean, except in the content, you know, concept of watching it for the first time. So it's a very different experience to doing a show, you know, a podcast about, like, a currently airing show, and I really, really like it.
Agreed. Okay, well, if you guys want to continue talking to us, please email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com, or you can find us on rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, we will do Buffy next for Rewatchable. I wasn't given anything, so.
They'll also do that, actually, if you rate them 1 star on iTunes. I'm
no,
just
don't do that. Oh, my gosh. One time somebody rated us, like, 3 stars, and they were like, this is good, but I don't like Kyle. And I was like, that is the meanest thing. Also, he's like not on. I know. It's like, just keep your opinions to yourself, man. Harass us on Twitter.
Yeah. That's weird.
Well, hopefully we will get 5 stars. But yeah, we hope to continue that tradition into Buffy, and we hope you guys continue leaving us ratings. That's really nice, and we really appreciate it. But,
oh God, Karen, you don't want people, using you as a sacrificial lamb for 5 stars on Buffy. The options are a lot worse.
I mean,
yeah,
I've seen Buffy, so I know what's coming.
Oh, that's true, but yeah.
Why did we change over from Buffy, from just Karen, to torturing everyone? I liked it better when it was just Karen.
That's so mean.
I know, but it's so funny. I'm really sorry, because I think it made her feel bad, but it was so funny. And I didn't even think about it as real. Okay, in that case, it did or it didn't?
Did not.
Oh, good. Then we must continue having only Karen, because it's hilarious. But yeah, the stuff that you're going to be made to do on Buffy is going to be intense.
I mean, it's not like I really have to do any of it, so bring it on. It's fine. Okay, let's get into our feedback, because I'm really excited to hear people's final thoughts. First up from Hypeable is Luke, who says, great show. Just one question for both Atla and The Legend of Korra. Is this really rewatchable according to the newbies? What I mean by that is, would the former newbies want to watch it all again? My opinion is that, yes, I would definitely want to watch it all again. Actually, I've put Avatar on my Christmas list. I want the full box set. I'm really excited. And my roommate has not seen either of the shows, and she also writes for Hypeable. And I would actually like to watch it as a super fan with somebody else as a newbie. So that might be in our future.
That would be so fun. Oh, my gosh.
And then make Kristen listen to all of our thoughts.
You have to convince her that Zutara's canon, so that she can be broken with
it. I will handle that.
Yeah.
Ariana, you know, like, watch children and convince your kids that Zutara's canon, aren't you?
Of course it's canon. It's canon within the series. I don't know about those comics, but within the series.
Good times.
Okay, Natalie, why don't you get this next one?
Yeah, Sukai says, thanks guys, it was really awesome rewatching Atla and Korra with you. Looking forward to Bucky. Sorry, you can see where that was going. Looking forward to Buffy rewatch, but honestly, as much as I love Buffy, I was really, really hoping you'd rewatch Merlin next. I thought I heard you guys hint at it. It could have just been wishful thinking on my part. I love Merlin.
There was a whole podcast on that.
Yeah, there was. But you can. It may still be online somewhere. It was an old Hyperbole podcast, and we may have removed it from the website, but I think it's still on iTunes. Talks of Camelot. It was Pam, who's on Hype, and Jess, who used to be on Glee Chat, they did all of Merlin. I never listened to it because I was not really involved with the Merlin fandom except for fan fiction. But I love Merlin so much, and I would be so up for doing it on Rewatchable, but we have already done a Hyperbull Merlin project. So, yeah, I literally just finished rewatching the show again, like, on DVD. Like, I've been watching it for the last year. Every time I clean my room, I put it on the DVD player in my room and watch it while I clean my room. So I love Merlin. It's so stupid, but I love it so much, and I cry so much in it. Anyway,
we're doing Downton Abbey next, so.
Oh my god! There was
in like 2 years.
When in 2 years, I need to be a super fan someday.
Ariana, on hype today, you can't listen to the hype episode we recorded today because you'll get spoiled. But there was something that was being compared, being obsessed with another character and pushing another character towards him on his behalf. That reminded me so much about the conversation we were talking about, like how Tom is in love with Henry and was just pushing Mary towards him because he couldn't have him and stuff like that. And yeah, there's a very comparable situation that we'll get to in about 47 years when we rewatch Buffy. So, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, Brittany, you want to read this first email?
Sure. So Amanda R. said, "Hey everyone, I just wanted to send a note to let everyone know how much I appreciated this podcast. As someone who has listened to you guys discuss both Atla and Legend of Korra while being a super fan, I greatly enjoyed hearing everyone's opinions and discussions. Natalie is apparently on the same wavelength as me when it comes to pairings for both Legend of Korra and Atla. I pretty much became obsessed with any interaction between Zuko and Aang after watching The Blue Spirit. Their drift compatibility is insane. By the end of Korra, I was having thoughts similar to Natalie and Mitch's when it came to Wu and Mako. And now I can't stop picturing the hypothetical future she envisioned for the two of them. This fanfic needs to happen."
I approve.
I'm sure it has.
"On another note, there was another parallel between the two series finales that I remember reading about. In both finales, the last word spoken by a character is the word perfect. In Atla, Toph says that she thinks everyone in Sokka's painting looks perfect. And in The Legend of Korra, Korra says going to the spirit world sounds perfect. I just always thought that was a neat, subtle parallel between the two shows. To finish my rambling, I've loved the bantering and group discussions this podcast provides. I'll be sticking around for Buffy, woohoo! So I can't wait to see what happens next. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Amanda."
Oh, that was nice. Mm. I'm really curious who's going to stick around for Buffy, if we're going to see some of the same names, who's going to be new. I really want to know who's been listening to us since Firefly.
I have.
I have not.
Thanks, Ariana. You're always there for us.
I listened to the Firefly podcast. I didn't.
I want to watch.
Listen Firefly. To Pushing Daisies after that, but
I was on. I want to listen to Veronica Mars and Firefly, but I have to watch the shows first. So I need time. But every other one I've been on. So.
Oh my gosh, you should totally watch Veronica Mars and give us an up to date week by week, and it'll be a flashback. Every time.
Yeah, I want to be in on that. Ariana, this next email seems like it might be up your alley.
All right. So I haven't read it yet. Let's see what it's about. Dear Rewatchable. Oh, this is from an Anheli or Angeli. I think it's Anheli. I think that's what she said. "I have really enjoyed rewatching Atla and Korra with you all. Most of my thoughts or comments I emailed in during the rewatch. But there's one last thing I wanted to comment on. Someone, can't remember who, said they shipped Korra and Iroh. I think that was Brittany. Was it you, Brittany?
Yeah, young Iroh, not old Iroh.
Young Iroh and
Just
Korra.
To be clear.
He had very good chemistry, yes.
"I never thought of shipping them, but that is because I shipped Asami and Iroh so much. Oh my gosh, I totally ship Asami and Iroh. They're both so badass. They deserve each other. I realize that the two never really talked to each other, but Iroh first appeared when Mako was being such a jerk to Asami. I thought Asami should dump Mako and get with Iroh and eventually help rule the Fire Nation with him. I think she would be a great queen. First Lady of the Fire Nation, whatever the title is, for the spouse of the Fire Lord." And who said that? Who wrote the red thing? Was that you, Brittany?
Oh, no, the red is from the email, but my commentary is in purple.
She says, "Also annoyed that we never went to the Fire Nation. I want to know how it has changed during Zuko's reign. And that one town where Aang went to school, still like the town from Footloose."
And I said that that's the most important question ever asked about the show, like, ever. I really need to know that now.
Anyway, no,
Zuko probably came there and taught them the dance of the dragons.
I hope
so. And now everyone's allowed to dance, you know, so it's fine.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Anyway, I'm sad. Okay. Anyway, I'm sad that you guys are done with the Avatar universe. The Korra rewatch began right when I started my new job. Now my Mondays will be Korra-less. Oh, I know how you feel. I guess I'll just listen to Hamilton or the Buffy rewatch. Do both. Listen to us on Buffy. We'll still answer your emails because Mitch will be here and he reads the emails. I do not.
Thanks, Mitch. Okay, now we have some tweets from some listeners. Michal, do you want to grab that first one?
Sure. This is from Gordon, who says, I'm so glad to hear you enjoyed Korra, the show. There were more than a few moments when I thought you hated it. I didn't hate it.
Probably my fault.
Oh, okay. Finally, in the end, I came around. I don't hate Korra anymore. But I like short-haired version of Korra. But I saw she was starting up the ponytail thing again, and I was like, girl, just leave it. The bob is fine. It's so cute.
I think that was just for the wedding, though, wasn't it?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think that was, like, formal wear.
Yeah, her hair is down when they go into the spirit world, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. Cool. Caitlin, you want to read this one from Lizzie?
Sure. Lizzie says, were you guys playing me when I asked back in September if you would do Buffy next? And I don't know who wrote that last part.
I think they've quoted the tweet that they, you guys replied to her in September.
So that's the tweet from September. She said, I replied to her and said, are we allowed to do two Whedon projects? Like, I didn't know. But I did know. I did know that we were doing Buffy.
We were playing you.
I think we're known for
the answer is yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you told me at Comic Con.
I did.
While we were walking in the street to get pizza, and I was just like, and she was like, you're going to be on it. And I was like,
I thought you would cry. Like, yeah. So.
Well, speaking of Whedon projects, I know that there's, like, no way this will happen for another, like, 75 million years. But Dollhouse would be an amazing show to rewatch because that show is a show.
Yeah,
I find that show very creepy.
It is creepy as hell. It's amazing.
Especially since it's a shorter one. I was heavily considering doing that between Avatar and Korra. And then we ended up going with something else, obviously. But definitely, you know, we have so much we want to do on the show, but all of it takes so much time.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Who do we have next? Is it Gordon again?
Gordon.
Yeah.
Natalie, do you want to take that one?
Yeah. Yeah, so Gordon, Toonie Chopperman, again, just wanted to know, question for all the hosts. List the Atlet Korra seasons in order of worst to best, personally, so this is going from worst to second, worst to best. He's Korra season 2, Korra season 1, Atlas season 1, Korra season 4, Atlas season 2, and Atlas season 3 and Korra 3 as a tie for the top. I'd agree with that top spot of Atlas 3 and Korra 3. I don't know, the rest of it looks pretty close to what I'd say, but do you guys have a solid opinion on that? Anyone actually worked that out for themselves?
Oh, I did, because I run the Twitter. I replied, and I said, from worst to best, it's Korra Season 2, Korra Season 4, Korra Season 1, Korra Season 3, Avatar Season 1, Avatar Season 2, Avatar Season 3, although Avatar 2 and 3 are very close, and then I went on to explain why, and it's because, like, you know, I run into more detail, but that I won't get into that, but that's my ranking.
So you think of all of Atlas better than all of Korra, basically?
Hands down.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I didn't think about it. Like, I think I'd have to watch them again to really feel like I could put them in order like that. It's a little difficult for me right now, especially the way that we did it. It feels very, like, streamlined in my brain.
It's hard because, like, for me, I like the gang so much better than the crew. I mean, the crew's fine too, but I just love the gang so much. But then, and Korra has all the grown-ups that are awesome, all the gang babies, and they were so great.
This next one is from Shelley, who said, just started the latest rewatchable, and I gasped out loud when Karen said they were doing Buffy next, so I'm glad that was a good surprise. I was hoping people would get really excited, and it seemed like they did. We got quite a few tweets where people were like, yay, Buffy next. Okay, Brittany, you want to take Claire's?
Sure, and in a similar spirit, Claire said, so excited that Rewatchable is doing Buffy next, hashtag apocalypse time, and I don't know what that means, so yay, Buffy.
Newbie. Hashtag beat me.
Hashtag newbie.
Ariana, you want to take Leah's?
Yes, this is from Leah Rao, and she says, I'm really excited you're doing Buffy next. I've never watched, but have always wanted to, and you'll help make me, help me make the time. And then she gave us a little winky face.
I'm amazed at how many people have not watched Buffy.
I know. I can't believe there's newbies. Like, it's so weird.
I thought we were going to have a lot of trouble getting newbies for the podcast, and we have a couple of backups. So that was surprising.
In case we make Karen angry, she can get rid of us.
It was like a few months ago, I tweeted or something, and I was like, I think I'm going to start watching Buffy. And then Karen messages me on Facebook, and I was like, do not start watching Buffy! And I was like, okay.
I did do that to a couple of people, actually, and they were like, I think Danielle said something about wanting to watch Buffy, and then Selena was like, yes, you need to. And I was like, actually, can you not?
Don't.
So, yeah, that was interesting. And then Stephanie, Michal, do you want to take this last one?
Sure. Stephanie says, I just started watching Buffy again on Netflix. How perfect is this?
Awesome. Great timing. So, yes, obviously, Buffy is next. Next week, we will have our intro episode of Buffy. To introduce the host, we will not be recapping any episodes yet. It's just a kind of get-to-know-us sort of thing. We chat about it, kind of figure out how much the newbies know without any spoilers, but see if they've watched any episodes in the past, and just our general excitement about starting the show. Our returning hosts will be me, Caitlin, Natalie, Mitch, Brittany, and Ariana. Unfortunately, we'll be saying goodbye to Michal and Danya. Danya couldn't be with us. Mitch couldn't be with us either, by the way, obviously. I'll insert their audio blurbs at some point randomly in this episode. But
that'll be great.
In the middle of a sentence.
Yes. Feel free to cut me off with Mitch.
Hey, Zutara fans, aka anyone watching Korra and Atla with Rewatchable. This is Mitch, and I wanted to say a great thank you for listening to our two podcasts for this fabulous series. I'm really excited to be continuing on doing Buffy with y'all, and I'll have you know that I already have my ship picked out for the upcoming show, and I won't spoil who it is yet. Unless I already have on the podcast, I wouldn't remember. And I also wanted to say something I found kind of profound about Korra. It was that recently I realized that the two people who helped Korra, the character, get back into the swing of things in book four were Aang's, like, best friends, I guess. Because I'm not going to call Katara his lover, because I don't accept that. Yeah, and I thought that was really cute that Toph is there to do it too. And it just makes me feel like, you know, they're tired old curmudgeon-y woman, and Guitar is just a grand nowadays, but it felt like a good circle coming around, as Toph said, that friendships can really last in another lifetime. And I think that's really special, and I'm going to miss anyone in Rewatchable that doesn't follow through with us. And I remember also that my good friend Gordon tweeted out at us for the Rewatchable account to say our favorite seasons. And I'm just going to say overall that my favorite of Korra is still book three, because I love, kind of like Natalie, I really love Zaheer. I think he's a great villain. I think he does a really good job of making you really terrified for Korra's life, and he kills people, and that's a thing that Korra villains should be doing more often, quite frankly. And other than that, I'm really looking forward to not only having new ships, but having new controversial clucking hen moments, as I'm sure there will be. And if you've listened to Watchable long enough, I'm sure you know what that means. And I know that eventually I'm going to want to come back to the comics. Maybe we will. I don't know that. I just work here, guys. Okay, well, hey, thanks for tuning in. I hope you appreciated the finale episode for Korra. And just know that we're always available on Twitter. My handle, in case you don't know it by now, is just at Mitch Clow. So you can find me there, and I'll tweet you once you write me, because I like talking to y'all. You're fun. Okay, everyone have a great day, and thanks for tuning in.
That would be nice.
Okay, I will do my best.
That's very appropriate.
And then if I'm yelling at any point in this episode, feel free to put me after Mitch, because that's usually how it goes.
That's pretty great.
Even though I wasn't able to make it onto a lot of episodes due to scheduling conflicts, I actually had a lot of fun rewatching Korra. And I think a lot of my thoughts have changed about the show since rewatching it. I think it stood up pretty much from when I first watched it start to finish. I still like the same characters. I still think it's an incredibly clever story, though I didn't get to discuss it very much throughout the run of this rewatchable, but you know, I still really like Korra. Bolin is still a standout character for me as well throughout the series. And yeah, I don't know. I'm going to miss talking about Korra with other people. It feels like the end of an era. This has been going on so long since Avatar as well. But yeah, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss everyone on Rewatchable. And hopefully when another show comes around that I love as much as Avatar, maybe I'll be back.
Luckily, we will also be saying hello to Selena and Kristen, who have both been on Rewatchable back in Firefly, but I don't think either one of them have been on since.
And yes, Kristen was on Freaks and Geeks.
Was she on Freaks and Geeks? Okay.
She was. I know, cool. That whole season was kind of a blur.
Yeah, it was. God, and that was our show before this one. I can't believe, like, I forgot that, but
I know, we were horrible. We were always just like, oh, when are we getting to Korra?
Yeah, it was, that was rough. I'm sorry we did do Freaks and Geeks the justice it deserved, but we did our best in the time that we had. But yeah, very excited for a couple of new voices, and it's going to be 7 seasons, guys. We're doing all 7 seasons. We haven't figured out exactly yet if we're going 7 seasons straight and if we're incorporating Angel. That's going to be a discussion come about season 3. So I'm avoiding.
I'd say it's a pretty much a sure thing that we're doing seasons 1, 2, and 3 of Buffy without a break, though.
Yes, at least definitely. That is, we're committing to that right now for sure. After that, we're going to figure it out. We'll throw it to listeners and see what they think, but I'm just avoiding that situation at the moment. But it's going to be about a year and a half of podcasting total if we don't incorporate Angel. If we do, even longer than that. So strap in. It's going to be a big one. And tweet us.
You guys like this show.
Tweet us and tell us why you're looking forward to Buffy, but remember, no spoilers, because we try to be spoiler-free for the newbies.
And I'm running the Twitter and Tumblr again, so... Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can always email spoilers, though, because Mitch... Oh, no, you can't. Not anymore.
Mitch is
a newbie.
I'll do the email. I'm a super fan. All right. So
if you're going to email spoilers, just put spoilers in the header.
Yeah.
And Natalie will read those.
Cool. Well, thank you everyone for listening to us while we've talked about Avatar and Korra. Thank you for listening to this wrap-up episode, and thanks to my fellow hosts for being awesome and for sticking around with this giant project. It ended up being quite the commitment, but it was well worth it. So, until next week, I'm Karen.
Oh, I'm Mariana.
I'm Brittany.
I'm the boulder.
Yes! Yes!
She has been sitting on that since
the yes.
Yes.
No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to say goodbye to the boulder.
Will you promise to bring it out every now and then, Caitlin?
I promise.
On special occasions. There are a lot of Buffy people.
All right, I can't follow that up, but I'm Michal.
I'm Natalie.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Shlameo.
my god, that was so great, Caitlin.
I was so hoping you were going to do that, and I was like, but I can't tell her, because then it'll just ruin it.
I'm so happy I forgot all about that.
Yes, I totally did too. It was so unexpected and delightful.
You're welcome.
Skype was like, are you sure you want to call everyone in this conversation? And I'm like, I think so.
It's not even that many.
I know. I was like, I guess I had to eject Mitch first, but yeah.